you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, July 3rd, 2017. Tomorrow's the 4th, Marianne.
Not the
17th. Oh, that's it.
Good
the
gracious.
3rd. Oh, 2018? Oh, gosh, I don't even know. Well, it's been a blur. I worked all weekend here at the center.
And you did.
Put in, I don't know, an ungodly amount of hours.
I don't know about ungodly, but and then a big day Monday. You kept working all through Monday, too. You said you didn't even, like, get off your phone and your email hardly.
Yeah, well, when Mama's away, I call her Mama Bear.
Oh, do you now?
Then Daddy works to try to get ahead. But she's actually coming in. Her and Esther will be flying in on Saturday.
Oh,
so
okay.
They've been helping.
Are they
going to
be down there on the 4th?
Yeah, they'll be down in Baton Rouge. Yeah. They helped David.
Nice.
My son David purchased a house in Baton Rouge.
Uh-huh.
And so they were helping with furniture and then purchasing things and getting them all set up. So they're having a good time. But Holly's like going to bed at like 12 and 1 in the morning. They're working really hard. I guess she finished that on Sunday night. And so hopefully a few days here she'll be able to rest and relax.
Enjoy the visit. It's a working visit.
Yeah, so while she's gone, I just work. So.
Yeah, you have been, it sounds like.
And we had the big surprise last week. Oh, they're renting out the Art Mart here, and we need all the stuff you're storing in there, which has been great. It's been a luxury to have some of our file cabinets and all of our yard signs. So if any of you want a great News Radio yard sign, actually I had to take 12 boxfuls to my garage and store some there, but you might have noticed near the front doors, I have them on both sides now.
Now's the time. Come
and
get them.
Get those yard signs into your yard. Yeah, especially with the Patriotic Fourth. People traveling around, parades and stuff going on.
I like the Fourth. Well, you warned me Monday morning. You sent me a text as I was coming in.
Yeah, yeah.
You said, you know I moved all that stuff out, so I didn't open the door and go, what?
Yeah, and that back room is where you tend to have your little station going on. So we have, a lot of different things in there. The only person that will be...
doesn't look as bad as I thought it was.
Well, on Saturday night, I left here at like 1:25 a.m.
So, what you do when you're bacheloring and working around the clock.
It was like 1 in the morning. I was loading the pickup truck with the yard sign. And I had to have them stacked this way and sideways to get them all in.
Oh, I bet that was a sight.
And I was driving down University. I'm thinking, is the police or somebody going to pull me over thinking, what's this pickup doing at 1:30 in the morning with all the stuff in the back?
That's so funny.
Yeah,
really?
Nobody pulled me over. One cop car kind of eyeballed me.
You're driving around at 1:30 in the morning with those signs sticking out everywhere.
Now, they're all in boxes, so you couldn't see them viewing as godless as you can, too. But I still thought they're probably thinking, who's doing this? At 1:30 in the morning.
It's too bad that people couldn't see him. There's a movie, I think Jim Carrey was in it, and he's like, I'm searching for a sign. I need a sign, from God. And he pulls up, and this truck is in front, and it's got all these big signs sticking out. Go this way, do that,
Oh, classic.
Yeah.
Oh, so let's see. Okay. Prime Life Times is being received. Oh!
Yeah?
I was going to read that little letter that I taped to your stool back there. Do you still have it? Oh, okay. Here it is. Yeah, I want to read that as we, on our Tuesdays, have the new practice of reading from your book, Memories of an African Son. And a dear friend, let's see, Marilyn has supported this station, I think, since the very beginning when it went on the air. In fact, when we had the historic first ever broadcast, that was back in 1996, Easter Sunday, April 7th, we had a little reception at Twin City Bible Church. Mm-hmm. And for many, many years, she still may attend there, but that's where she was attending. And she's financially supported us, I think, since the very beginning, maybe even before we went on the air.
It's wonderful.
She writes us all the time. And she recently wrote, a neighbor has enjoyed your newspaper articles, and I've been enjoying Marianne's readings from her book. Thank you all. Love, Marilyn.
Oh, how nice.
Thank you, Marilyn. She always sends an encouraging note or letter. And
that kind of stuff really matters,
Yep. So verbally, a couple other people have told me they enjoyed the Tuesday programs.
Oh,
the
good.
New format, as a few have said. And then the Prime Life Times, we've been getting lots of information. Jason texted me, Jason Gingold, who delivers the papers throughout East Central Illinois. He was saying he was at a Walmart somewhere, and somebody stopped him and said, we love that article that Rob wrote, that first page article.
Oh, really?
So I forgot to tell Rob.
Oh, that's great. But, oh, we need to be sure and tell him that.
Get lots of good feedback, lots of good content, 32 pages.
I know.
If you haven't picked up your edition, go to our website and you can find out almost 200 area locations. Nancy Brain, who's our new PR person and an account rep in the Danville area, she personally delivers them to about 15 or 20 area locations, like a dentist's office and a realtor and an elderly care unit and different facilities where she goes in, personally gives them a couple copies that they put in their waiting room or whatever, and continues to build relationships and works towards getting advertisers and people to support the station. So appreciate Nancy. I officially got some business cards ready for her. They'll be delivered in 3 or 4 more days, but she's considered our PR person and an account rep as she helps us get sales. But she's also working behind the scenes with us to maybe sponsor. I'm not ready to kind of officially announce what it's going to be, but
something. But you're doing it right now, so go, it's okay.
Well, like always, if we have
it's
questions.
It's not official. This isn't for, this is just talk.
this is more just talk as we think about it over the air. But
think out loud.
Something to rally or gather or round up seniors. It's a round up seniors. You're all invited to come out. But we'll have special speakers and some kind of theme, a reason for gathering. And then maybe it'll be a luncheon or a breakfast or something. But I think she and maybe Cindy Guthrie and some other special people that you and I are talking about, you know, provide a setting where people would be interested in coming. I mean, because of whatever the topic or theme is. And so Nancy's going to be our PR person to kind of think that up and work it out and get the word out and make it worthwhile. So more to say in the coming days. Probably we're some months away from actually doing it or doing some of them.
You were there when it happened.
But you were the first to hear about it as we're still
I'm kind of hearing about part of it right now.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm kind of making some of it up as I go right now, too.
Okay, I'll take notes.
All right, so Tuesdays, our desire, our theme, our goal is to read portions from your book, actually chapters, Memories of an African Son. And the reason why is because they're well written. I think they're interesting. They're informative. I like the devotional kind of concept or thought that's interspersed as you recollect some of your history, some of your journey, some of the ways you saw God working while you were in Africa. And you usually have a principle or an intent. I think each one of these you wrote with some intent in mind, because you close out with a prayer or something to prod our hearts to consider something or evaluate biases or I don't know. Tell us why you
wrote. That sounds really good.
Take it on the road.
Hey,
well, you wrote it
I'm
with.
I'm going to listen to this.
Yeah,
write stuff down.
You're intentional in why you wrote these chapters, right? To some degree?
You know, it just kind of came. I'm sorry.
So God was intentional through you.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, okay. That's right. So today we're going to read chapter 3, Leaving Home. And I think the title speaks for itself, right?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Okay, chapter 3, Leaving Home. The propeller jet waited on the runway for its flight to New York City. We stood close together as a little family group at the silver-colored metal gate on a cold but clear day in early February, waiting until the last possible moment. Above us on the balcony of the airport, a large crowd had formed. Friends, colleagues from the schools where my father had taught, and members from area churches stood alongside my mother's huge extended family. Their faces were alternately somber and excited or crying. My aunts, lined up at the balcony railing together, had on their best winter coats and hats. But the worst of the pain was there at the runway gate. My two older brothers were staying behind. I was being taken away from them. My last glimpse of home was of my oldest brother's wife sobbing, her dark hair buried in the coat of her baby girl in her arms. My brothers stood side by side watching us. Later that day, my brother Jim, barely in college, would return to our empty home, standing cavernous now, and sit in the empty rooms and cry, alone. I think we all felt alone. For me, the impossible had happened. a family was torn apart. Not torn apart because of lack of love, not torn apart spiritually, but torn apart geographically. At my mother's funeral a few years ago, the speaker asked God to bless my family for what we sacrificed. I appreciated that mention, yet I felt so aware of those who went before us, who sacrificed for Africa to hear the gospel in ways I cannot imagine, who bled for Africa, who loved it and its people with their own lives. Early missionaries to Africa took their wooden coffins with them. They had them built in New England or Britain, and the coffins traveled alongside them on the boats they sailed to Africa.
Wow, I'm just pausing for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, grasp that. It's like, yeah, they're basically saying, we're here for good. We're lifers.
There's no coming back. Well, wow. they were going to die.
Yeah.
They had them built in New England or Britain, and the coffins traveled alongside them on the boats they sailed to Africa. Old names, famous names of magnificent people. Now, only in history books. They knew they would not be coming back. Except for those who immediately turned back upon arrival, only a few made the return trip home. If disease did not bring them down within months, blackwater fever, malaria, and a host of other diseases ravaged systems which had no immunity at all, then hardship would simply overtake them. Moravian missionaries had already arrived in Africa by 1737. In 1799, a mission society was formed in Britain with the intention of sending missionaries into the interior of Africa, and they did so by 1815. It was in 1855 that the fearless, anti-slavery Scottish missionary explorer David Livingstone first explored the Zambezi River. And by the mid-1800s, other groups of Scottish missionaries had also arrived.
Mr. Livingstone, I presume?
Yes.
Sorry,
that's
the
one.
Had to get that out.
It's the one. In 1910, former American President Theodore Roosevelt traveled to Africa. Though he mercilessly slaughtered a staggering number of African animals while on safari, he nevertheless did manage to convince the ruthless Belgian government to unblock the entry of American doctors and nurses who were trying desperately to get into the Congo. He persuaded that government to allow an American medical mission station in colonial Congo. Those early missionaries built and ran hospitals and schools. They clothed and fed many. One can only lightly follow in such footsteps. They are very big footsteps. 50 years after those missions in the Congo were established, we found ourselves on our way to a new world, and yet also an ancient one. For me, the depth of the meaning of the word home was being rearranged, partly shattered, yet partly being built up to a solidness previously unimagined. I stood by that small propeller jet on the runway and turned back one last time to see them all before we boarded. The picture of them, standing there, watching us leave, remains embedded in my mind to this day. Tears were falling everywhere. I can't remember much beyond that. I had on a blue coat. My mother had on her red coat. That seems to be all I could see until we were well on our way. On our way to a place so far beyond my little imagination that there were no words. Africa had called. My father quoted one scripture many times over the years until it was emblazoned in my mind. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Acts 16:9 and 10. It's a scripture I don't hear quoted much anymore. The Apostle Paul had a night vision, a call from the people of Macedonia. So he went. My father felt a call from the people of Africa. Is God calling you somewhere? It may be to the apartment or the house next door on your own street. So often, we look for what we consider to be the big thing while stumbling and tripping over every other important situation that God has placed in our lives. The call to go to Egypt, to America, to Zimbabwe, to New York, to Illinois, or to the next door is all the same call. It's the call to show the love of God. And the time is now. Lord, place deep in our hearts the knowledge that we only have today to serve you, to be available to you. Wherever we are, at home or far from home, we place our times in your hands. Whether you have given us a long life on a homestead or called us to places far and wide, we give it to you. Give us courage. Give us light. Give us perseverance. And give us success on your behalf.
And all of God's people said, amen.
Thank you. It's the call.
It's the call, silly. It's the call. Oh, that's a great one. I think about how years ago we played a whole series. It was some of these messages, and I think it was a 3 or 5 day kind of workshop that we put over the air. But it was the importance of reaching the internationals that are right here in our own neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, God has a special calling on certain people to go to Africa, to go to parts of the world. Definitely, there's a special, unique calling. Mm-hmm. And something that we should all be concerned about and mindful of.
Oh, yeah.
But also that grand opportunity he's placed right in our own backyards by bringing these internationals from all over the world right here.
Mm-hmm.
And we can entertain them and invite them into our homes and witness and care for and minister to, mm-hmm, and do a unique work without having to spend thousands of dollars and trying to understand their culture and get accepted into their community. We can bring them right here into our own homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a lot of different ways. And I like how you put that, regardless of wherever you're at, that's your call. The call could be the next door neighbor.
Absolutely.
It could be across the street. It could be during your workplace. You know, obviously there's appropriate times when to witness and share when you're in a working situation.
Mm-hmm.
But
Doing your work when you're supposed to as a witness too.
Yeah, that's right. Doing your work with excellence too.
Yeah.
Christians should be the most proficient or intentional or hardworking than any of the other employees.
Certainly because the most with integrity.
Right,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
Honest and fair and forthright and mm-hmm, doing their job and not mm-hmm being lazy or being a poor witness. So
I've heard so many people talk about how, you know, I've never gone anywhere or done anything or this or that. I just live in this apartment or, you know, I'm like, that's enough. That's fantastic. Yeah. The glory of God can descend on that apartment. You can have a reach to everybody on that street. That's huge.
And how many senior saints that spend hours in prayer? I mean,
that's like
the real power that's unleashed. Those that are maybe shut-ins or for various healthy reasons or whatever, sit home and pray and petition God on behalf of those of us maybe in ministry, mm-hmm, or praying for their pastor each and every day or each and every week, or that provide that supplication. You know, I guess what, the hand of prayer that moves the hand of God or something.
There is a saying like that. And, you know, some people's call is to go help the elderly or the young. And that's for real. And the enemy does not just say, oh, that kid's only 5. I won't bother them. Or, oh, that person's, they're only 91. I'm done with it. No, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
He's after the people of God. You got to stick with, we got to really help the people of God, no matter how old or how young. And that can be somebody's call.
See them
through. See them to victory.
And sometimes that call or that witness is just the stability of that marriage for the 50, 60, 70 years, the influence that has on people that are looking to get married, or the modeling that's done, that's subtly done. It's not like, yeah, I was in drugs or I was this or in crime or all these things and look what the Lord saved me out of. It's those that are just consistent, that plug away, that show up to work, that care for the neighborhood kids or whatever. Yeah, there's so many different ways. Hey, I had a question. The Belgium government, so they were, you used the word ruthless, so
they
must have done some research, or I'm like, wow, I would have just never thought
it's,
at all.
It's well known, and it's in a chapter in this book called Where Inaction Ends, when somebody finally brought them down.
Wow.
They did the most horrific things
in Africa
to the people of Congo, Belgian Congo. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
You can't hardly even say the words. It's so awful.
Wow.
They were ruthless, cruel, chopping up children, terrible things.
Wow. Now, oblivious to that. But,
yeah, it's awful.
And, you know, I do know, I think most of us know about Teddy Roosevelt. He was this frontiersman kind
bag.
Of guy.
I know,
that,
I'm not against him.
He had
just
a lot of hunting and safaris and such.
He wasn't just hunting. He killed massive amounts of animals. And part of them, you know, he took to the Smithsonian. I mean, he had them shipped back. But some of them just laid there. It was just, oh, please.
But like you said,
slaughter is one thing. I mean,
but you did point out that he did make some inroads and got our American doctors over there and a medical mission set up. And
he's the reason the British and American could get into the Congo and see what was going on.
Yeah. And you don't mess with Teddy.
I guess not.
What was it with
big
Teddy?
Big stick or something.
Walks
Rangers.
Softly with a big stick.
Wait, it was something about Rangers too, wasn't it? Or he had this group. Oh, shoot. What was
not the
it?
Royal Rangers.
No, no. Anyway, yeah.
That's a Canadian.
Stick.
The Royal Rifles. Oh, okay. There we go.
Wow.
Nixon. Okay. Well, you can read all about it yourself in this book, Memories of an African Son, available here at the Great News Radio Center. Purchase it online. And if you come by here, you can get a copy signed by our very own Mary Ann Simpkins. She authored this a couple years old, but it's a great book, and we're reading through it.
A couple years young,
yeah. Just fresh, hot off the presses, ready to be read.
A lot of them are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, been needing to be reprinted because there is a demand. And
yes,
so,
there is quite a lot.
Get your copy, and we'll continue to read this. This program is archived at greatnewsradio.org, so you can listen to it again or maybe pass it on to a friend and just paste the email link right into an email, and when they click on it, it'll launch. So, all right. Well, Chapter 4 will be next Tuesday. Tune in at the same time, and hope tomorrow is a good day for you and family members watching parades or being active in celebrating the independence that we share because of those that have fought for us or those that provide that safety net so that we can enjoy these great freedoms in this great country.
Have a wonderful and safe July 4th.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Mary Ann Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and have a happy 4th. There'll be special music being played all day long tomorrow, so tune in and enjoy the patriotic music.
Have that on in the background while you have cinnamon rolls and coffee and stay home from work.
Sounds great to me. All right. Have a great day, everyone.
We are walking in the light of good.